next at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That will suffice for a reading. Owing to time, other scriptures we likely refer to. What is on my mind as you try, and I don't think it is in any way in conflict with the ministry that we have been hearing, that the rapture of the church is not in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24. Can we prove that from the word of God? I draw your attention here to verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God, of the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I want to leave in your mind, and I trust you'll not forget, the expression, the Lord himself. The Lord himself. That's very interesting. We go to the Ephesians letter, Ephesians chapter 5, and there we are reminded of the Lord's love for the church. He gave himself for it, and it was in order that it might be purified, looking forward to the day that's yet future, to present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So there again we have the Lord and the church. He gave himself for it, and thank God for the blessedness of that, looking forward to that future day when he shall present it to himself. Already we have been reminded that that will be the marriage of the Lamb, and taking us forward and taking us heavenward, it will be in heaven. When we think of the Lord again after his resurrection, rose triumphantly from the dead and appeared in the midst of his disciples, where they were gathered together in his fear. And for that, you remember the two on the way to Emmaus, and the beautiful instruction that he had, a Bible reading, if you will, none ever was better, and he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. And then he's come again to down further in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and the disciples gathered together, likely for fear of the Jews. And the Lord himself stood in the midst of them. They were affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he says, why are you affrighted? Why are you fearful? For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. I think that is beautiful, flesh and bones. He didn't say flesh and blood. The precious blood had been freely shed, had flowed out atoningly, should never be shed again, and thank God it doesn't need to be, for he sacrifices one sacrifice for sins forever, and now he has gone up and he's seated at God's right hand. The Lord himself appeared in their midst. He showed them his hands, showed them his feet. And I love the thought, he didn't say flesh and blood, he said flesh and bones. So the blood has been shed, and thank God for its efficacy and for its eternal value, a full atonement made, an eternal redemption procured. And we're glad and thankful that so many here this afternoon, the speaker among them, you and I, have been brought into the eternal blessing of that saved by rich and sovereign grace. Then I was thinking again of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, without reading the scriptures. Already we've been reminded there was coming as the Son of Man, coming in all his glory. And one of the things he is going to do, he is going to come with his mighty angels. His mighty angels. And thank God for the commission that is given to them to gather the elect from the four winds. And thank God for the blessedness of that. And there's no doubt whatever that the one being taken and the other left has not got to do with the rapture of the church. Well, I wouldn't have time to go into all of those details, but it is based upon a particular Greek word that has been translated in different ways in different contexts, and that is a dangerous thing to do when you've got your dictionary, see the meaning of the word and say that's it. Not always. Along with that, you need to look at every occurrence of it, and not only any occurrence, but with pay particular attention to the context, and we see it could not be always translated in the same way. Linking it back with what we have in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and there the Lord was making reference to his coming, and thank God for those beautiful words. And again, we have the Lord himself. And of course, that truth has been developed elsewhere in the Word of God. But the theory that has been built upon it is that the Word in Matthew chapter 24 and in John's Gospel chapter 14 is the same Word, and therefore it must refer to the rapture. Well, already we've been seeing now, where's the rapture? It's the Lord himself. There's no angelic ministry there. And then we see when he comes as the Son of Man, in all his glory, thank God for that most mighty angels and the commission to gather the elect from the four winds and back again to their own land. And thank God for the blessedness of that. They will go into that millennial kingdom and they will be with the Lord as we've been reminded for that 1,000 years. If I go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, where we have again the end of the age brought before us, now we see another commission that's given to the angels at the time of its coming, and that is to gather out of the kingdom all things that are sinned and them which do iniquity, a twofold ministry of angels. And again, you see, in connection with his coming as the Son of Man, that there is angelic ministry. Not so with his coming to the air. And the Lord would not entrust any to come to take his blood-bought bride. It will be the Lord himself. And what a moment it will be. I'm inclined to think it's very, very, very near. We look into the world, and a state morally that is being referred to today, getting worse by the hour, and we're really shocked at the depravity that God has already seen within the human breast when he said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and the question asked, who can know it? And so the Lord himself that can plumb the depths of depravity within the human breast. In this last year or two, we are hearing of things and the suicide bombers and others going into a dreadful sin and iniquity, and remember, it's not going to improve. I believe evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and we're coming to that blessed moment, the moment of the Lord's coming again. Visiting around the different homes of care, hospital wards betimes, those in advancing years, nothing more to live for down here, and you can't please them better than tell them of the moment of the Lord's return. Thinking of quite a number in recent months, a tremendous number of saints of God, particularly elderly have been taken home. And a great moment it is for many of them, for all of them, I might say, when they're released from a body of suffering, and they will see his nines and the Alzheimer's and all the rest of it, and that's brought to an end when the Lord comes again. And of course the dead in Christ, they're going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now I trust what I have said has been reasonably easy to follow when it's in relation to his blood-bought church. Angels are not connected with it. And he loved the church, he gave himself for it, and then living beyond the present time, the day is not far distant when he presented to himself a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. Thank God for that blessed day. But in the meantime, you and I are left here, and we trust that we will give ear to the ministry that we have been hearing, and that we may be enabled to live more in light of the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord's coming, and beyond it, the judgment seat of Christ. I believe if that was more on our minds from day to day, it would likely be conducive to holiness from as our life as we manifest and bear testimony before a perishing world. And the many of them will not read their Bibles, but they'll read that life of yours. And I can tell you, there are many in the world today, and the singular saints of God. And so if ever there was a man on the way to heaven, if ever there was a woman on the way to heaven, it's that dear saint of God. And it would be good for you, good for me, if we could just be like that and have the world saying that about us. I think the time is just about gone, and I could enlarge upon that, because what we have at the end of Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 is something sensational in nature, I judge, and where we have the faithful servant and the evil servant, and both stand before the Lord in that time. That will not be the judgment seat of Christ. There's only one class there, and what's the class? Those that are redeemed by precious blood, and those who form part of the church, which is his body, and soon to be presented and become the bride, the glorious bride. And then he's going to come again, according to Thessalonians chapter 1, and he's going to be admired in his blood-bought church. And the Apostle Paul would say, because we preach the gospel, and it gives delight to the apostle to think that when he comes, and not only with his saints, but with his blood-bought church, and he's going to be admired in that day by what? By his beautiful bride. I leave a few thoughts with you, and I'm trying to condense them into a very short space of time, and what I'm saying, I'm not moving away from either. If you want me to go over it privately, brothers or sisters, I'll gladly do that and maybe enlarge upon it. We'll leave it with you in the presence and trust the Lord may bless the little that has come at the end of this session, along with goodly words that have gone before.